This is the Mountain Muse, and I'm Mary DeGrappa, and today we are talking to Bill Sniffen, Wyoming author and entrepreneur. Welcome, Bill.
It's good to be here.
Tell us why you're in Jackson today.
Well, we had a book signing last night. I just published a new book about Wyoming called Wyoming's Seven Greatest Natural Wonders, and we had an excellent book signing down at the Visitor Center, the Greater Yellowstone Visitor Center down in North Cache. Clay James of Jackson wrote the chapter in the book about the Grand Teton National Park, and a local photographer here named Daryl Hunter took a lot of the photos of the Jackson Hole section. So they joined me, and we had a nice time. We sold a lot of books and signed a lot of books, and it was a fun experience. I love coming to Jackson Hole.
Are you a Wyoming native, Bill?
You know, I wish that I could say I was. I like to quote Dick Cheney and say I wasn't born here, but I got here as soon as I could. We've been here 43 years, and I live in Lander.
And what brought about the creation of your Wyoming book?
You know, I've done a lot of things, both in the tourism industry in Wyoming. I'm a former chairman of the Wyoming Travel Commission. I've probably been responsible for over 3 million tourist magazines about Yellowstone and the state of Wyoming and lots of things like that. And then I've also been a journalist for all these years. And I've tried to retire a couple years ago. And I think it was the winter of 2011-2012, I got a little bored and decided maybe I needed to do something with my spare time. And so this is the result of that.
This is your hobby.
This is my hobby, I guess. You introduced me as an entrepreneur. I apologize, but I don't apologize for that. I felt Wyoming needed a book like this. There hadn't been one for 5 years. And I give talks all over the state about the book project. It's been quite an interesting story. And one of the things I used to say when I would give these talks is that there hadn't been a book about Wyoming for 5 years, and I just felt there needed to be one. Well, now I've discovered that I'm not sure there has ever been a book done about Wyoming by a Wyoming person.
Oh,
every book has either been done by an institution or a state agency or by some national company that says, well, we're going to do books about 20 different states, and they handle everything. So I think I can sit here and say I may be one of the few people, if not the only one, to have produced a statewide book, coffee table book like this about Wyoming that I've been able to find.
Well, congratulations.
Well, maybe if I'd have known that, I wouldn't have tackled it, because it was a big project, a very big and very expensive project, and I ended up doing it all. I had help from 30 other photographers, and I had seven writers that wrote about each of the seven wonders. Governor Meade wrote the introduction, but I pretty well designed it with the help of a gal named Amy Russian, who now works at your local hospital here as their public relations person.
Nice.
Here in Jackson. But it was a fun adventure. My wife said during the summer of 2012, boy, that summer went really fast, didn't it? Where did it go? And I said, look at the book. That's where it went. There wasn't a lot of spare time.
Who did all the photography for the book?
You know, I started out with a couple friends of mine, and I've taken, being a journalist in Wyoming for 43 years, I've got a tremendous supply of fantastic photos that I've taken. So my original plan was this would be essentially my photos, but it just didn't turn out that way. Every time I found another photographer and they would send me their spectacular photographs, I would pull another photo of mine out and put one of theirs in. And so the reaction most people give to this book is it's just breathtaking. They have never seen photography of this quality about Wyoming.
Oh, that's exciting.
So it is exciting. It's been really fun.
Well, thank you for giving me a copy.
Yes.
What is the official name of the book?
The official name is Wyoming's Seven Greatest Natural Wonders, mm-hmm. plus 33 Other Fascinating Places.
Do you think that your experience as 47 years as a journalist?
43, but actually, no, actually, that isn't true. It's almost 50 years counting before I moved to Wyoming. So, yes, I've got a lot of journalistic experience.
And that inspired you to create this book?
It was, I think, the combination of that plus the fact that I had been so involved in tourism. I mean, I've like I said, I was on the State Travel Commission. I was a part owner with my daughter, Shelley Johnson, of a company called YellowstonePark.com. That company twice won the Webby Award for the best tourism website in the world. And I mean, that's a big deal. These are the Oscars of the internet. And so, it for example, it would get 40 million hits. So I've been involved in all these different tourism things. So I knew the state well and appreciated it and certainly loved it. And I had the opportunity on the one hand to know about all these places and certainly to know a lot of the photographers I ended up using. But at the other hand, I've been a publisher and an editor and a writer all these years. So I had the skill set that for a one-man band, I could actually put this together. I don't know if there's a whole lot of folks in Wyoming that have the same the experience in journalism and the experience in tourism.
Right, that combination.
Yeah.
How did your journalism career bring you to Wyoming?
You know, it's an interesting story to me anyway, but I was a 24-year-old editor in Iowa and doing pretty well, but I always wanted to come west, and I had a chance to a man named Bruce Kennedy from Grable, Wyoming, had a part ownership in a newspaper in Lander and a newspaper in Gillette, and invited me and my wife Nancy to come out and apply for publisher jobs. Of course, we had never been to the Rockies before, and we fell in love. It was about actually almost exactly right now. It was about this time of year back in 1970 that we came and visited Wyoming, and we had three little children at that time, and I have to admit, Lander looked awful good. And I think if I'd have taken the Gillette job, I'd have made a lot more money. but it was pretty rough in Gillette back in 1970. There were lots and lots of trailer parks and mining, and Gillette was booming. And I happen to love Gillette. So when I say that, even people from Gillette know that in 1970, it was pretty wild up there. So we chose Lander, and we've lived there ever since.
Oh, that's wonderful. And you have three children?
Actually, we ended up then having another one, so we have four children, yeah.
Do you have any favorite Wyoming stories that you want to share with us?
Oh, man, that's a... I have lots of stories. One of the things that the genesis of the book was a column. I write a newspaper column for 10 different newspapers in the state and goes out to about 60,000 homes every week, so... I like to believe I may be the most widely published columnist in the state of Wyoming, but anyway, it's Cheyenne and Laramie and Rawlins and Rock Springs and Evanston and Lander and Riverton, and Sheridan Media publishes it, and a lot of other places, Worland. But anyway, I wrote a column. People say, well, where do you come up with stuff for your weekly column? Well, the truth is, sometimes you scratch your head and say, you know, what the heck am I going to write about? And I had seen something somewhere about the seven greatest natural wonders of something. I don't remember what, but I got to thinking, what would be Wyoming's seven greatest natural wonders? And so I wrote a column about that. And when I did, it was easy to come up with the main players. I mean, Yellowstone, Grand Teton, Devil's Tower. Then I added the Red Desert, which I happen to think is spectacular. I mean, it's, in fact, the chapter on the Red Desert in here calls it the loneliest place in the loneliest state. And it is a spectacular place. And then I included South Pass, just because what South Pass meant to the country, 350,000 immigrants were able to go from the eastern part of America to the western part because of South Pass. Plus, it's just a very interesting place. And then I felt there needed to be a river system, so I included the North Platte River system because it covers so much of the state. So those are my seven greatest natural wonders. Well, you want to know a Wyoming story. I've got all these friends out there. And again, like I said, my column is published all over the state. I had people wanting to string me up because how could I leave out their favorite place? You know, how could I possibly leave out Wind River Canyon, or how could I leave out someplace on the reservation, or how could I leave out Faso Butte, or how could I leave out? And they would all, and they, these are, of course, my friends. And I would say, well, I wrote the column and I get to pick them. So, but that was in 2007. And so I was, we bought a motorhome. My wife and I, like I said, we're trying to retire. And we have a daughter that lives in Dallas with her husband and with our three grandchildren. And so we took the motorhome down there for a couple months in January and February of 2012. And I guess I'm getting my years mixed up, but that was in 2012. And I've got a book I want to write called The Last Days of the First Boomers. And I'm the, I contend I'm the oldest baby boomer. I was conceived in June of 45. And that makes me number one of the 80 million baby boomers that came behind. So I thought I should write a book about, here we are, we're all getting a little long of tooth. And I thought this is going to be such a great book. And so my wife and I were in the motorhome. And so I'm, every day I'm sitting down in front of my computer and I'm trying to write this book. And I mean, literally, it isn't coming. I just couldn't get it going. And so one Saturday afternoon, my grandson and I were goofing off. It was kind of a rainy day, and went to one of these half-price giant bookstores they have down there, and he made a beeline for the coffee table books because he wanted to see something about the Dallas Cowboys. And here were all these coffee table books. And so I started looking at them, and I thought, you know, when I wrote that column, everybody said I should do a book about that. And I thought, maybe now is the time to do it. So that was my inspiration. So actually, it was on February 17th of 2012 is when I made a memo to myself that I should do this book. And my deadline to get it to the printer was August 1st. And I made that deadline. And this is the result.
That so is very exciting.
That was really time pressure. But the,
wow.
So anyway, that's a long story, but that's kind of the genesis of the book. And I went out and I bought 40 coffee table books. They're all used, and some of them were pretty old. And I discovered some things. I discovered that that when I looked at them critically, you know, most of us love coffee table books. You just like to look at the pictures. And even though I'm a journalist and a publisher, I'm not sure I ever looked at them critically. You know, I just looked at them. And so this time I looked at them critically and I said, I think I can do one of these, you know. And then the other thing I discovered is that the ones that had foldouts, I really liked the way they looked. And so this book has 14 foldouts, and that means that you've got a photo of something in Wyoming that's 13 inches high and 30 inches wide. I think, as you can tell, you've already seen them. The foldouts are wonderful. They really are.
Well, besides the fact that, okay, you owned how many newspapers? You owned several newspapers.
I think my wife and I, and with some partners, we were involved in the ownership of about 12, 13 newspapers over the years.
Just in Wyoming?
No, we had newspapers in South Dakota and in Montana and in Hawaii, mm-hmm. besides Wyoming.
What is your theory on the future of newspapers?
For a while, I think newspapers are doing very well. Small newspapers in Wyoming are doing exceptionally well. And one of the reasons for that is that they're still the best and most efficient place, I think, for merchants to get the most bang for their buck with their advertising. And it's funny, most consumers think newspapers derive their income from subscriptions, but they actually get about 70 to 80% from advertising. And right now with, I mean, let's be honest, the internet is hurting all media. It's really turned the whole media game upside down. And as we go forward, the internet is becoming more and more of a place where you get your news. But advertising is another ballgame. And how does a merchant or a business get his message, his or her message to the consumer? And I happen to think newspapers are still very strong. And so the newspaper people I know who are working hard, and they're providing an internet product, and they're out there servicing their customers, they're doing very well. Mm-hmm. And there are no newspapers in Wyoming like the giant papers across the country that have been having difficulty. I mean, the biggest paper we have are Cheyenne and Casper, and I think they're both doing extremely well. So it's a so that's a long answer, but I think I do know what I'm talking about. Newspapers are going to be around for quite a while, I believe.
That's good news.
I think it is.
Yeah, and I think you're right, especially in Wyoming. In the big city, like you said, those newspapers are the ones that really suffered. But I think in Wyoming, it's still the community.
Yep.
And we're such, you know, a small population, isolated, you know, in a big sense.
Well, it's the media in Wyoming is, you know, I think per capita we have the best newspapers in the state. And we may have some of the best radio stations. And we have some great internet companies. And Sheridan Media comes to mind. A man up there named Kim Love is doing very well. And there, so media is media. You know, you, I always, as someone who, I was an entrepreneur my whole life. And so I always used my newspaper as an incubator. I could, because I owned the newspaper, I had the staff, I had the press, I could start publications on the side and magazines and things like that. And I didn't have the kind of costs associated with that kind of product that a pure startup would have, because I already had the bases already covered. And that's what you're seeing. The smart players are they're leveraging their assets and taking advantage of their opportunities. And they're doing just fine, I believe. So now 20 years from now, 10 years from now, things are changing. It's there's no question about that. But for now, I think the newspapers in Wyoming are not only outstanding and doing a great job, but I think they're doing quite well economically.
Mm-hmm. Who are some of your favorite journalists that you've followed or who have inspired you in your career?
Well, that's a good question, but the man that brought me to Wyoming was a guy named Bruce Kennedy, and Bruce was a visionary, and he unfortunately he died about, it's 24 years ago, I think now it was in 1993, but in a car wreck. He his family still controls the newspapers in Cody and Gillette and Green River and Douglas, and those are all outstanding operations. So I really think that Bruce was a great mentor of mine, and there's 20 different people out there today, or that at one time or another were publishers that started out working for me. So that's a source of pride that I take. But I like to tease these people that they learned it all from me. But the fact of the matter is that I learned a ton from them, and some of those folks are like Steve Woody up in Sheridan and Bart Smith. He's a Wyoming native, but he's a publisher of the Greeley Tribune. A guy named Mark Raymond, he's a publisher now out in Lake Tahoe, and Bruce McCormick up at Cody, and Lee Lockhart over in Worland. And so a lot of relationships there. Ann McGowan at Lander. A lot of folks, a guy named Mike Quinn in Lake Havasu City, Arizona. Mm-hmm. A lot of people have come through my shop that I like to tease them and tell them that I taught them everything. But the reality is I learned an awful lot from them, too.
Oh, that's nice to hear. How about Nancy? You mentioned Nancy. Is she a journalist as well?
You know, she is not a journalist per se. I think she certainly qualifies as one. She's mainly been, you know, just steady there. She was always the chief financial officer for the companies and counting the money and making sure that making sure the bills are paid and the bills and the statements went out.
How did you meet Nancy?
I was a young sports editor in a small town in western Iowa, and she was a high school senior, and I was taking pictures of the annual staff, and she was the editor of the annual. And
oh, okay.
I said, boy, this is a good-looking girl here. So that was kind of where it all started. Yeah.
That's nice to hear.
Yeah, we've been married 47 years. So
congratulations.
Yeah,
on that too.
Thanks. You bet.
That's excellent. Well, thank you so much for joining us.
Well, it's my pleasure. This has been fun. And again, I would mention that I do give talks all over Wyoming about the book. It's there's a lot of interesting things that have happened since the book has come into being, and it's a so I'll be glad to. If anybody wants to contact me, I've been talking to chambers of commerce and Rotary clubs and Kiwanis clubs and various organizations.
What is your website?
It's WyomingWonders.com. Or I should say www.wyomingwonders.com.
Excellent.
My columns and everything are billsniffin.com, but it's but Wyoming Wonders would be the best place to get a hold of information about even getting copies of the book or doing anything that people would be interested in.
Okay, thanks. Thanks
Great.
For that. Thanks so much.
Thank you.